Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy and welcome to another episode of the Laptop Empires Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Yanda, with my business partner, Bobby Hoyt, and special guest, Chris Orzechowski, the copywriter. Chris, the copywriter, trying to get him to switch his domain. We'll see if it happens. Today, I want it so bad. Okay, so today is another episode of our Day in the Life series. We started with Bobby, Day in the Life of a Full-Time Blogger. Last episode was all about moi, talking about Day in the Life of an Agency Owner. And today, we're bringing in our good buddy to talk about what it's like being a professional copywriter. So, Chris, welcome back, man. Last time we were on here deliriously giggling after a launch. So, I think this will be probably a better episode.
Before Chris jumps in, I just want to say the only, I think, one-star review we've ever gotten was on the episode we did with you. Because they were mad. They were mad that we spent too much time like just being friends and talking before we jumped into sales pages. So thanks for that, Chris.
What a horrible person.
We did the shooting the shit bit before we recorded this time. So
yeah.
But let's jump in before we get too off track again, because, man, one-star reviews are not fun. So,
no.
How you doing, Chris?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Pumped to be back.
Yeah. We're going to have to get you on more often.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anytime.
So, how is life in copywriting land?
It's good. It's busy. It's what I'm currently in the process of doing is, like, you know, when you start off, it's kind of like these stages you go through, right? Like, and you guys have obviously seen it, done it, but you start off like just doing whatever the thing you want to do as a side hustle normally. And then you make the decision where you want to take it to the next level and do it full time. And then once you're doing it full time, some people want to take it to the point where it's like, let's build this thing up as big as we can. And that's kind of like what I'm doing now. So it's definitely an interesting, fun, stressful, crazy, interesting experience. So
now this is your 2018 was your first like year full time, right? Because I'm trying to remember when you quit teaching.
Yeah, June 16th, 2017 was my final day. I walked
nice.
Out of school forever. So that was nice.
I remember that feeling too, man. I remember looking at the last, like the doors on before I drove out of the parking lot. And that was like the best feeling I've ever had in my life. It was awesome. Oh,
yeah. Except he walked out of it with a full-time salary from his sidekick. You walked out of it after earning $3. Yeah.
I still felt very good about it though.
It worked out for you. It worked out for you.
Yeah. It's funny. I remember like leaving and just hearing the words of, Alice Cooper, school's out for the summer. I'm like, school's out. Oh, I was like, yes, finally.
Yeah. So, Chris, I got a question for you. Mike and I realized, you know, about a year into working with each other, we had no idea like what our days look like. So, like, for me, I just kind of wake up and do stuff in the morning. I think Mike's kind of the same way. Like, you know, you're running your copywriting business. You got a lot of stuff going on. You've been growing your email list. You know, I get emails from you all the time. What do you do every day? Like when you wake up, like what is the plan?
Oh, that's a good question, bro. I do everything every day. I do a lot of stuff. not a lot of writers.
I know these skills.
Yeah. And I'm not like just trying to, you know, toot my own horn here, but there's not a lot of writers to do as much stuff as I do. And I think the only reason I'm able to do all the stuff, cause I write for clients on retainer. I have, you know, obviously like you guys that I work with, I have other clients. So I do, you know, one-off jobs or work periodically with them. I have consulting clients. I coach other freelancers. I have courses. I email my list. I create content every single week. I'm on podcasts all the time. I do a shit ton of stuff. So the only way, you know, the average freelancer probably doesn't have to do or be as organized as I am, but I am very regimented, very organized. I want to say I have everything down to a routine, but like the thing is, things change week to week. you know, there's a lot of stuff I could tell you about. Like, I kind of, you know, I don't know what you want to dive into first. Like, the way I kind of, like, you know, each day is kind of themed. I guess we could start there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I realized a long time ago that, like, one of the things that, as someone who's trying to be, like, highly productive, and, you know, because as a freelancer, no matter whether you're a copywriter or what you do, like, you're always going to wear a number of hats, right? Like, you're going to have to market yourself. You're going to have to, you know, talk with clients, to close clients, to manage the relationships with clients and those accounts that you have, to actually do the deliverables, the work that you have to do. There's, like, so many different things you got to do. So what I realized was, after a while, I was like, man, I'm trying to do like 10 things, 10 different things every single day. And what happens is, it's like hard to test switch. It's hard to be like, okay, I'm going to do this thing for an hour, and then this other thing for an hour. And then, I mean, maybe some people are wired like that, but I would much rather just be like, okay, today I'm focusing on like these one, two, or three big things. And then tomorrow I'm focusing on like two or three different big things and like a different aspect of my business. So, like Mondays are usually days when I have standing calls with members of my team, the teams that I'm on. And then I also do like my own business development stuff. So that's when I do a lot of my content, write some emails. You know, I do stuff for courses that I'm creating, all that. That usually happens on Mondays. Tuesdays, I kind of switch my schedule up. So like Tuesdays are another big call day. That's when I have the calls for the mastermind that I'm in and with my own coaches. People coach me. That's when I coach the other freelancers that I'm working with and do consulting. So that's like pretty much Tuesday. Wednesday is kind of like an open day for client work. Thursday is pretty much an open day for client work. And then Friday is kind of like a flex day for, you know, either more client work I have to catch up on, or sometimes if I have extra stuff for myself. So I kind of, you know, it's not like, it's obviously themed. It's not like, you know, I'm doing five different things each day of the week, but I just feel like it helps me a lot to do that.
Cool.
I've always liked that idea of like theme days, and I've just never been able to implement it. And I don't know if it's just like one of those things, like I can't implement it personally, or if it's just like kids throw a wrench in everything. Like, I'm not sure, but I've always liked the idea of being like, this is a meeting day. This is a recording day. This is a, you know, day I'm doing client work or, you know, funnels or business development or whatever. I've never managed to get there. So I think that's cool to hear that that's kind of how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of like happened out of necessity. I was just like killing myself. And I was like, I have so many things to do. And like, I was like, there's gotta be a better system. So I started like looking around and seeing how some people do that. I was like, that kind of makes sense the way it is. Like, you know, some people who are like, oh, the first hour of the day you should do this, and then, you know, focus on this stuff. And I did that for a while. I guess for some people it works, but it's like, to me, I know for my own sanity, I'd rather look at my to-do list and be like, okay, I have like these two things I got to get done today. And they're both, you know, if it's like, you know, an email sequence and like start that webinar I'm working on, I'm like, okay, I'm just writing today. I don't have to worry about anything else. Or if it's like, I have 5-6 calls a day, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be on the phone. I don't have to write anything. So I don't got to worry about any of that other stuff. And it doesn't always happen. Like, there are some days when like I'll have 5 calls and I'll be like, oh shit, I got to finish this project before I hop on this block of calls. But, you know, it's as close as I can get it to strictly themed.
Okay. We are, you won't notice this, but we're back from a little break because I had to make Chris go get a microphone. So it sounded like horrible, and now he sounds wonderful. It's because I had to make him go get his professional equipment. Anyway. So yeah, I'm calling you out on air because it's funny.
I know. I deserve it.
So we're going to dive back into this. Bobby is losing his mind, but has his mic, you know, muted. So he gets, but he's having a good time with this. All right. So Chris, like, what I want to know is more about, like, I think that's awesome how you kind of schedule your days. Can you tell us a little bit more about like, what does the work look like as a copywriter? Like, what kinds of things are you doing? Like, maybe not necessarily like what kind of things are you writing, but just like, I don't know, maybe that, like, I'll let you go with it where you want. What is the work look like when you're a hot shit copywriter?
Well, lately, it's become a lot of like, it's a lot less writing. Like, that's what I've learned. Like, as you get high, you know, you move higher and higher on like the hierarchy, so to speak.
I thought you were about to say, like, as you become a hot shit writer.
No.
Said that and you started with that would have been funny.
No, you know, as you move up and become more and more booked, I guess is the way that I look at it. Like, you know, obviously you have a lot of opportunities. So it becomes a matter of like, I'm on the phone a lot because now the types of campaigns that I'm doing, it's not as much like, hey, we need, you know, 47 emails. It's like, hey, we need to map out the strategy for this campaign or this launch or this funnel or whatever we're doing. So it's a lot, it's a lot of, you know, the writing is actually probably the fastest part of any one of my projects that I do, because most of that time is spent either in the strategy stages or in the research stages and the planning stages. Like, you know, like when you guys have seen this firsthand, when I'm helping you guys with your stuff, like, you know, one of those sales letters, I wrote 30 pages in one day, because it's not about like the actual time it takes to write. It's about how good is the idea that you have. And that is what takes the most amount of time, is thinking about the idea. So like, thinking about copy too is like, your brain never turns off. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be thinking about these things 24/7, 7 days a week. And I guess you don't have to, like, some people, I guess, you know, they close the computer and they're done. But like, that's when my brain is working overtime. Like when I'm away from the computer and I'm like out, or, you know, on the couch, like watching something, that's when my brain will start to stew over different ideas, and I'll start to get different inputs and make different connections. And then, you know, once I have the hook, then for whatever campaign or promotion I'm writing, it's a piece of cake. So like, the process itself, it looks like, you know, obviously the strategy is first establishing like what the campaign is going to look like, mapping everything out, where all the assets we need to have created, what the flow is going to be, what the timeline is going to be, what the schedule is going to be for rolling out the promotion, all those things. And then it's a matter of like doing research and making sure that the message that we create is going to match the desires of the people we're trying to sell to. So that takes a while too. But it's like, kind of once you lay all that groundwork, then it's just like, okay, just sit down and write the damn thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know how to write a sales letter, you know how to write an email, a webinar. It's all structures after that. It's just kind of not filling in the blanks, but it's just kind of filling in the different pieces of the structure of whatever you're writing.
Yeah, that makes sense. People have asked me, like, with just my own emails, like, they're like, how do you write the emails and all that? It's like, I have kind of a formula that I use now. So it's actually pretty simple. It's like, once I get the idea, what you said, and I haven't thought of it that way, but that's the thing that takes me the longest now, is like to come up with like, oh, that's a good hook, or like, oh, that's a good transition I can use. And then and then it's like easy to write once you know what you're doing. So that's interesting that your stuff goes that way. Obviously that's what you do for a living now.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things I had to figure out too, though. It's cause what happens is a lot of writers too, like they'll just sit there with a blank piece of paper and start writing. I'm definitely guilty of doing that sometimes, but after a while I just figured out, I'm like, bro, you got formulas that work, just use them. And it's not like templates. It's not like, oh, fill in, you know, the end of the sentence. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about like, you know, a sales letter is going to have the same parts no matter what you're writing for, right? So it's just a matter of, okay, like what's going to go in the headline? What's the opening sentence going to be? What's the story going to be? How am I going to make the transition? Like, what's the sales argument? What's the unique mechanism, right? So it's like, you start thinking through all those things and then just arranging them, right? That's the way that I look at copy. And that's kind of, you know, most of my time is spent doing the research and talking to my clients and talking to potential customers and those kind of things, and studying other promotions and looking in the industry, looking outside the industry. So it's a lot. I'm going to be working on documenting every single step of my process. That's something I'm going to start working on next week. So I probably have a better answer then.
Have you hired people yet? Do you have a team yet?
Yeah, I have a, she marketed herself as a virtual assistant, but she's more of like an operations manager. That's what I consider her. Her name is Ashley. She's awesome. It's her. And then she has another, two people actually working under her.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, that's another one of my big secrets is, Ashley Berghoff is her name, and she's phenomenal. Like, she completely helped me take things to the next level. She's one of my standing calls on Monday, and I'll talk to her and be like, hey, I got all these things I want to do, but I'm kind of an idiot. So like, can you help me with this stuff? And she's like, yeah, sure. What do you want to do? And so I say, I want to do this. 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 And then she's like, okay, if we're going to do all these things, here's what I need from you. I'll take care of all this stuff. You just get this stuff to me. We'll put it into play. And I'm like, this is like a dream come true. So we've been working together for, I think we started in like September, October, maybe September. I can't, some about 6 months or so, but complete game changer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Cause I know like Mike and I both have assistants now, and we both have like team members. It makes it a lot easier. But the thing I'm kind of curious about for you, like, you've gone from kind of solopreneur, cause we, you know, Mike and I did this too, solopreneur, to like starting to have people working for you and you got more stuff going on. How have you been able to balance the actual content creation part with the business management part? Like, has that been hard for you, or has it been just kind of like a natural thing for you to kind of transition into?
Do you mean the content for myself or for like the stuff I do for my clients?
Just all of it, you know, like how to, you know, cause it's like, you got, all of a sudden you have to become a business owner and you got to think about expenses. You got to think about, you know, money and managing people and all this stuff, but you also got to create content. So like, has that made you like, do you enjoy doing that, or has it been stressful, or?
I like the content. I think I could probably improve that process a little bit. Like we've talked about this in terms of like generating ideas and, you know, honestly, most weeks I just wake, I've kind of made it a point where like Monday morning I'm writing an article and that's the first thing I do of the entire week because marketing myself is the most important thing that I could do. And if nothing else gets done, that's getting done because I am going to continually build up the brand of Chris Warzykowski no matter what. Like we're going to keep on bringing in leads. We're going to keep on closing deals. We're going to keep the money coming in no matter what. So that's kind of like number one. That's why I do that the first thing on Monday morning is I create stuff for myself. And what happened was, you know, for so long, for years, I mean, you know, while I was kind of learning, which is to be expected, I was just building assets for everyone else. And then I kind of realized, I said, you know, you've been doing this for a few years. And like, what assets, what infrastructure do you have? What assets do you have for your own business? And like, a lot of freelancers don't think this way. A lot of freelancers just like, oh, just getting on the gig, just doing the project. I'm like, that's cool. And yeah, you know, you're building up your portfolio and your experience and testimonials. That's cool. That's necessary. You got to do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like, what do you have? What are you going to have to show for it? Because if you just do the same thing every single week for 30 years, you're just going to be still, okay, get another client, get another project, close another deal, right? So I kind of made a big shift about a year ago or so where I said, I'm going to build up my own assets before I build up anyone else's. So Monday morning, that's the first thing that gets done. And that's like the most important thing I do no matter what. So for me, it was a big like priority shift. And it was kind of just building that habit and saying, okay, yeah, bro, you do got a lot of shit to do. And you know what? You do have deadlines and you got to get it all done. So that means get this thing done as quick as you can and then move on to all the other stuff that you got to do.
That is, I love that because it is hands down my biggest thing that I struggle with, like to this day. And there's just because there's so much going on and Bobby can attest to this. Like I am constantly trying to figure out, okay, I got to do all this stuff for clients. We've got all this going on at the agency, even as much as I've delegated, which is a huge amount. Like, you know, one of those things where when people come and get a peek behind the scenes and look what's going on at the agency, it surprises them how much I've delegated and other people are doing. But even with that, it's very, very hard for me to make that space for myself to work on a Laptop Empires project or send personal emails or even to like go work out or practice guitar or do any of these things for myself. Like that's a constant struggle. And I love, you know, it's that profit first mentality, but instead of like paying yourself first, it's, you know, doing work for yourself first. And that's very difficult. It really is. I'm something I'm trying to work on, but I love to hear that you're doing that because I think it's so important. I think it's a great piece of advice for our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, the deadlines aren't going to stop. And that's one of the big things I realized. I was like, it doesn't matter what is going on in my business. The deadlines are going to be there, right? So like, I'm never going to get to a point where I'm like, oh, I have no deadlines for the next month and a half. So now I can go create some content. Like if you're a freelancer, that's not going to happen. So like, you might think that's going to happen, but you're lying to yourself, right? Like, the deadlines are still going to be there whether you do the content for yourself or not, right? So that's just the constant. So you just need to make a decision, like, are you going to sneak in some of your own stuff first? And like, I just focus on like, can I build one new asset every single week? And an asset can be defined as a process. It can be defined as something that you could sell. It could be something that generates leads, brings things. Like I do an article every week. I try to also do a few podcasts every single month because those are all assets. Those are things that are going to live on the internet forever. And they're going to, over time, bring people into my world without me having to directly work at doing that. So like, it's one of those things where like, just write the damn article once and put it up. And you do that every single week. And eventually, like, you know, a lot of copywriters and freelancers, they're like, oh, I can't get any clients. I can't get this. I'm like, well, no one knows who you are. And they're like, well, how do you get clients? I'm like, I made people know who I am. You know, that's what I started doing. I started saying, I want people to know who Chris Warzykowski is. So the only way I'm going to do that is if I start publishing helpful stuff. So yeah, it's just a mindset. It's a different mentality, you know?
Before I ask you this next question, I just want to point out because I'm sitting here like you're a quote machine today. So I'm like man,
if I took a lot of nootropics.
There you go. If nobody gets anything out of this other than marketing yourself is the best thing you can do, like that in your business, like that was a great quote. And then you followed that up with the like, just build one asset per week. And then, you know, you spoke so fast, I couldn't even write down. I can't remember what the other one was in between those we were just talking about. So go back and listen because there was a tasty nug in there. But basically, like that little segment, there was so much good stuff in there. Oh, it was the deadlines. The deadline thing, they never go away. Yeah. And so I love this concept. If you put it together of just realizing like The deadlines never end. And so go work on your stuff first, because you're always going to have deadlines no matter what. And so just learn to get your stuff done first. And I've experienced that. You know, I've experienced that this week. Had a really good day, got a whole bunch of stuff done. I was like, I'm going to work on my own stuff the next day. And then a whole bunch of new stuff came up. And so love it. Just wanted to reinforce that before we transition. And this is a related, you know, Bobby was asking, like, how do you balance like the client work, the content creation versus the business development? One thing I'm curious about is how do you balance like work versus study, right? So I know that you, like us, are big believers in like developing your craft and learning more about the craft, or learning more about skills that can help you build your business. And I've said many times before on the show, I'm a compulsive researcher. Like when Bobby and I talk about what do we want our ideal life to be, one of the things that I want is study time. Like I want to be able to go through other people's courses and study and learn new things, because I enjoy that. And so how much time in a week would you say, maybe like a percentage, do you spend consuming helpful content to learn and develop versus the amount of work you're doing?
Good question. Yeah, bro, most weeks it's like 0%. You know, and it, here's, it's not good. It's not good. It should be higher than 0%. Some weeks, like this week, I haven't had as much as I normally do. So I kind of went through recordings of this event that was pretty helpful. But a lot of weeks it's zero. And the reason why is because I'm so just in the trenches with everything that I'm doing that it's like, okay, we can go through that course and watch what someone else did, or we can go create our own shit and see what happens. And then those are going to be the best lessons. And then besides that, one of the ways I've kind of shifted my getting my education is being in high level groups like this mastermind that I'm in. It's about 10 of us writers, and we're all, you know, we're all kind of working on different types of things, but we all have the commonality and the things in common that like we're high level freelancers, right? So I can look at, oh, you know, like Abby Woodcock is one, like she launched a product. So I was asking her questions specifically about how she did that, right? Like there's all these other writers, like Ross O'Loughlin is another one who kind of helped me out with figuring out like, you know, the processes and how I'm going to work with clients moving forward, how I'm going to take things to the next level, right? Like there's all these people in that group who, Brian McCarthy is another one. He's like the master of case studies. So I'm like thinking about how do I do case studies to market my own business? Like I'm going to him because he's good at it. So if you get to a certain point where it's like, I've taken every course, I bought every course, I got a whole bookshelf full of course, I got 100 hours of video that I haven't even watched on my computer, and I'm going to get to that stuff eventually. But in the meantime, it's like, as a problem arises, let's find a piece of content, or let's find someone who could help me out with that stuff directly right now. So like when I started working on webinars, the first thing I did was I went and got 2 webinar courses, right? Like, and then I went through them as I was building out those projects. So like if it's something new that I haven't done before, I'll probably buy a course or hire someone or get some help or talk to someone who's done it before, just so I can go through the process. And then I got the added benefit of, oh, I didn't just have to read about it and learn and say, man, that's really cool if I use that someday. It's like, no, I'm actually going through it and building something as I'm going through it.
I relate hard to that because I don't sit down and study a whole lot of things these days. I used to take courses and I used to like really go through that, but I learn way better just talking to people and I've learned a ton about email marketing just by kind of just reading your emails, not even deconstructing them all, like just really kind of reading them and being around it. So I definitely get that. And then the good thing for me is I got like Mike is a compulsive researcher. So like he does all this research and then I kind of like get that information from him. So I think if you're super
and then
busy,
I learn through teaching. So I regurgitate it to Bobby, whether he wants to hear it or not.
Yeah, it's good. I feel like I just always have this, like this knowledge coming in and like hanging out with you guys too. Like I feel like I've learned so much more about just everything. I don't know. But
I will say, you know, I think one of my biggest takeaways from last year and starting Laptop Empires was I consumed almost nothing last year. And so, you know, you reach a point where you know everything you need to know to be successful, and you just have to go take action. And that last year is a really good example of like, we just did stuff, and it worked. Or if it didn't work, we pivoted, we adjusted, you know? And so at some point you've just got to take action. But I think it's like everything, it's very cyclical. Like the early days, I spent a lot of time learning, and then I'd implement, and then I spent a lot more time learning. And then last year was like all implementation. And now I'm getting back in the space where I'm like, okay, now we have new problems. I'm trying to learn new things, you know? And so the reason I brought that question up is because I was just curious. And I think, you know, Chris, it makes sense. Like you're in a phase where you're like, I'm just getting shit done. I'm just out there making money, growing. And I've been there before and I totally relate to that, like not feeling like you have the time for that. So
cool.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, one last thing on that. Like, it's one of those things where some people are probably going to listen to this and be like, oh, I guess I don't need to go through any courses. And like, that's not what I'm saying. Like for the first 4 to 4.5 right. years, I read courses, books. I read every book out there. I got every course out there. I went through that stuff multiple times. But the reason why was because I was occupying my time, you know, breaking down the campaigns and the examples that they use. But now I'm at the point where like I'm working on campaigns every single day. So it's like, number one, I have to make a choice. I have to say, okay, well, I have this client project and this is actually going to go live. And, you know, I'm going to be accountable for the result of what it is. So I need to really focus on doing and putting all of my energy into this rather than dividing my focus and attention. But also it's like, you know, if you're at the point where like you are, you know, overbooked, you know, people are waiting in line to work with you. And because you have so many projects going on, it's like, you're going to learn more by doing those actual projects. Right. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and be like, oh, don't have to buy any, like, listen, like obviously, you know, I have a vested interest, like I sell courses, but I sell to people who are beginners. Right. And like, that's what most courses are, that for people who are beginners, it's like, hey, here's all the steps you need to do to accomplish this thing. Now go out and apply it. Right. Like as you move up the chain, right. And as you develop in your career, then you start looking for, like, I still buy courses every now and again. I just don't have as much time to go through them. Sometimes I'll buy them and I don't go through them just like everyone else does. You know, you leave it in the cellophane, but you'll get to it eventually. But you know, as you develop more and more, you'll start to look for more leverage learning opportunities like masterminds and coaching and those kind of things.
So I've got a question about your writing, because this is something that as I, especially like early on, I felt like I was just writing so much all the time. And I was like doing everything myself too. So I was doing all the writing and the editing, putting it into the website and doing all that stuff for the Millennium Money Man site. Do you ever get burnt out writing? Like, do you ever get to a place where you're just like, dude, I cannot write any more content? And if you do, which I'm sure you probably do, how do you get past that?
Yeah, I burn myself out all the time. I'm messed up in the head. Like what I'll do is I'll be like, hey, don't have too much work right now. Life is pretty chill. Money's coming in. Everything's good to go. Like, let's destroy that and let's just book ourselves solid and take on way more projects than we can handle. And then what happens is I'll have all these projects and I'll become like super hyper productive and just be cranking out, you know, 10, 15 emails in a day, or write an entire sales page in a day or whatever it is. And I'll just like blow through, you know, stuff for 3-4 weeks. And I'll just become a machine. And then I'll kind of like get burnt out from all that. And then I'll take like a week or two to like recover. And then I just repeat the whole process over again, because there's clearly something wrong with me. So I don't know if that, I wouldn't recommend that to people, but it's kind of like one of those things where I have to objectively look at my behavior. And that's kind of, I'm sure, you know, that's what's been happening. I'm sure I'll eventually level out with that stuff, hopefully. But yeah, it's one of those things where like, you know, I think anything you do, you're going to burn out sometimes, and you're going to be like, okay, I'm getting a little sick and tired of this, or you're hitting a wall. And then the best thing you do is step back, right? Like that's when, you know, I experience big periods of growth, because like there'll be problems that I have and everyone's like, it's funny, like people in my mastermind, they'll be like, hey, did you take the week? Like I'll list out all these problems I have and be like, I'm pissed off about this. I'm pissed off about this. Like, I don't know what to do about this. And everyone will be like, looks like someone worked this weekend. I'm like, yeah, I've been working for like 14 days straight, right? Like, cause you're so in it and you're frustrated and you're writing and you got deadlines and you're trying to, you know, ship stuff and implement stuff. But then like, then you take a step back and you say, I'm just going to chill for a week. And then you get that mental headspace that you need. And you kind of like come back to life and, you know, step back from the edge of burnout. So like I said, it's kind of been a cycle. And I think people who are like pushing themselves, like myself, and are trying to get to that next level and trying to do great things, like, you know, I'm not one of these people who's going to sit here and blow smoke up your ass and say, oh yeah, freelancing. Oh, it's great. You work an hour a day. Like, that's not me. You know what I mean? Like, there are freelance teachers and people out there who will sell you a line of bullshit about like, oh yeah, you could just like, you know, live your dream life and work an hour a day and make $1 million. Like, I don't know. Like that's not the truth for me. I like telling people the truth about like what this shit is like. So, because some people, you know, some people are, and listen, if you just want to work a few hours a day and just make like mediocre money, that's totally fine. I'm not, whatever. That's cool. Cool with me. But for me, like I'm pushing myself to the limit every single day, every single week, because I want to do big things. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where the cool thing about freelancing and being, you know, doing this kind of business is you can kind of decide what you want to do. You can decide what you want to create and who you want to be. You could be a psychopath like me and just redline all the time, or you could like take it easy. And either, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of like what your preferences
all
are.
All three of us. Everyone. Yeah.
Exactly. Like yeah. More or less.
Yeah. You know, but it's one of those things, like, it depends on your goals. And I think this like concept, like you said, like the great thing is that you can do whatever you want. You can build it however you want. You can work as hard as you want, as much or as little as you want. At the same time, like that's one of the harder things. Like, how do you know what you want? Like sometimes you don't know what you want, you know? And so, but the great thing about freelancing too, is that like you can change and you can pivot and you can try different things. Like we've talked about recently, like solopreneur versus, you know, small team versus agency models versus like certain niches, like maybe one thing over another thing, serve it, you know, complete done for you work versus coaching versus, you know, productized services. Like there are so many things you can do. And so, you know, I think we talked about this on the last episode, Bobby, like nothing is going to be perfect. There is no perfect business model. Even for you, there's not a perfect business model, but there are pros and cons to every little thing you can do. And the trick is finding out which of the cons can you deal with the best in comparison to the pros. And that takes some time and experimentation, but luckily with freelancing, it is one of those things that like you can have a really high return on your time when you're starting out. And then that makes it worth it until you figure everything out because you're making good money. And so I think it's a good transition too, to kind of like to wrap this up. My final question is, you know, Chris, you are a former teacher like Bobby. I think it's interesting that most of the people that I know that are very, very successful in this online space or former teachers. Like that's the most that I know, biggest profession I know of. And then after that, for me, it's like professions like attorneys and CPAs mm-hmm. like that for whatever reason. Like, I don't know what it is about those two types of people, but I see a lot of that. But going from a teacher to doing this, how did you get into it? And, or maybe not so much, how did you get into it? But if somebody's listening to this and they're like, you know, it's great, Bobby and Mike talk about blogging and digital marketing all the time as potential side hustles, but I really like the idea of writing and getting paid high dollar instead of writing for a blog. How does somebody get into copywriting? How do they break into that? Because I feel like that's a little harder to get into than say like freelance writing.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, here's the thing. Like there's three main areas you have to focus on. And this is kind of, I guess, you know, along the whole thread of like being super productive. Like I realized a long time ago too, like there's only three things I need to do in order to actually make this whole like copywriting thing a reality. It's like, I need to attract clients or generate leads. I need to close deals or convert those leads. And then I need to deliver a specific result for those people. So I kind of like grouped everything I was doing into one of those three buckets. And if an activity I was doing didn't fit into one of those three buckets, I said, I'm not going to do it. Right. And it kind of made the way I looked at my business very easy. So like, if you're just starting out, like you're going to need a way to attract clients to you, or at least get in conversations with people who want to hire a copywriter. That's like the first step. You're going to need to know how to deliver a result. You're going to need to know obviously how to structure a deal. It's obviously a little bit more, it'll take a little bit more than just what we're discussing here now. But the first thing you got to do is probably get good. You got to learn, like you got to learn how to put together, you know, a piece of copy. You got to learn how to put together a sales letter or an email or a VSL or a webinar. And, you know, like just a cohesive sales message that works. And at first you're probably going to suck. You're going to suck ass. And that's why, like, if you have a day job, it's not a bad thing. Like, you know, I had my day job for 4 years, you know, because I sucked and I recognized that I sucked. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to work until I don't suck. And then once I didn't suck, I said, okay, I think I can get some clients. And then once I got some clients, I said, hey, I'm actually getting pretty good at this. Maybe now I'll be ready to think about doing this full time. A lot of people, they want it yesterday. They want it like, oh, well, like one thing that whenever I run a survey to my list, you know, I say like, what's the one reason you didn't buy, or like what would have made this offer that I'm, you know, because a lot of copywriters are on my list. I'll sell products and things. And they'll say, what would I have to say to you in order to make you buy this thing? They say, I want a step-by-step plan to get a client in the next 30 days guaranteed. And I'm like, well, you know, it took me like a year and a half to get my first client.
Good luck with that.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can get
all the strategies in the world, but
yeah, like, it's like, I want to be able to promise you that. I would love to be able to promise you that, but I can't in good faith promise you that. I can get a client in 30 seconds. I got to pick up the phone and make one phone call to 10 different people. I got a client, right? It's not a big deal, but I've also been doing this for 6 years and I've also invested more than anyone else in my education, my network, and my business. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those things where you got to get good. You got to get connected. You got to learn the game. You got to learn how this game is played. You got to learn how the game is won. You got to learn the rules of the game. You got to learn all of these things. It's a lot to learn. But the thing is, if once you learn it, you'll never have to learn it again. Like once you learn how to generate clients, that problem's solved. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You just have to keep doing those activities. Once you know how to talk to a client on the phone and close them, you don't ever have to learn that again, right? And then it's just a matter of perfecting your craft. So the good news is, like, is it hard to get started? I don't think it's that hard, because really all you need, like if you have a Gmail account and a Facebook account, you have, and you know, a Skype account, you have pretty much, and all the three of those things are free. You have everything you need, because you can reach out to people via email. You can reach out, talk to people on Facebook who might need a writer. And you have Google Docs, so you can write all your copy and give it to people there, right? So there's tons of free resources. It's not, it's kind of a low barrier thing to get started in, but to get traction, that's where it's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's going to separate the people who just think, oh yeah, I'll be a copywriter and I'll be like rich and it'll be fun and I don't have to work very hard, versus the people who like are going to succeed and do this as a career. 100%. So I hope I didn't scare anyone off.
No, it's the same way with anything, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, with Facebook ads, right? Managing Facebook ads, you have to learn how to do it and how to provide results. And then you got to go find clients. And that's the hardest part. Like, you can make good money very quickly if you quickly figure out how to find clients. And yep. A lot of times that part, that's just guts, right? Like, that's guts having no fear and no shame. Like, yep. You got to go out there and just be like, I can do this for you. Oh, okay. You don't want to work with me. Cool. Later. Hey, you, I can do this for you. And like, just being able to take rejection. Like, if you can take rejection, you know, like if you're one of those, you know, I think like the best, the best person for this kind of thing is going to be that guy that just swings and misses at the bar, like over and over and over again, you know, cause like, he's just like, screw it. I'm going to go talk to her. I'm ugly. The cards are stacked against me, but I'm going to go for it. Like, those people are going to do well, but yes, yeah, so you've got to have the guts to go ask. And I think we see that with our students. You know, there are people that maybe don't land a client right away. And a lot of times the reason they haven't landed a client is because they haven't gone and talked to anybody yet. They haven't put themselves out there, right? They're like, I'm not sure what to do. Or they're focusing on other things. The people that make it happen pretty quickly, it's because they just go do. They go, hey, here it is. I'm just going to go do. I'm going to go try. Mm-hmm. People are gonna tell me no. It's cool. 9 people told me no, but the 10th person told me yes. And then it gets easier over time. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't scare people off, because that's just reality.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, my goal is not to scare you off. Like, the thing is, like, it's manageable. It's doable. It's definitely, I mean, you know, I started off with nothing, you know, and I made this into my career. Like, I'm not trying to scare you off. I'm just trying to be like, I'm one of the few people who's going to be honest with you about what this is like, right? Like, that's how I like being with people. I like being like, here's what you can expect. You know, there's ways to get help and accelerate these things and shortcut these things and make them happen faster. There's a lot of ways. I mean, like, if you hire a coach right from the get-go, you're going to get, you know, you're going to compress 3 years into 3 months, right? So like, there's all different ways that you could make things happen faster. If you do it all on your own, it's obviously going to take a lot longer. If you don't take any courses, if you don't, you know, seek out knowledge and seek out ways to upgrade your skills, obviously it's going to take longer. It's all the decisions you make. It's all that mindset. But I'm just one of those people where I'm like, you know what? You can build an awesome life, but let's work for it. Like, let's not like get pissed off because, God forbid, we bought a course and it didn't, you know, make $1 million rain from the sky, right? Like, let's put our nose to the grindstone and kick some ass and work.
There's a key word there. You have to build it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can't magically manifest an ideal life. You have to build it. Right. You have to lay the bricks. So
yeah.
Bob, you got anything you want to close with before we put a bow on this sucker?
What kind of nootropics do you use?
Oh, dude. So I just started taking these new ones. So this
not
is
expecting that.
Gorilla Mind Smooth, and this one's Gorilla Mind Rush. And what I did was I took 3 of the Smooth, and then recently I've been doing that in the morning, and then I've been taking 3 of the Rush. And this one, I don't know what's in this one, but they're good, man. I'm feeling pretty good. They, you know, that's the thing too. Like, I look for any advantage that I can get. You know what I mean? Like, if it's going to, you're going to help me focus, you're going to help me, you know, help me stimulate ideas and things, like, let's do it. Down the hatch. Make it happen, right?
We're like, I can tell you what's going to happen from this episode. I feel like this is one of the best episodes we've had for like just quotable, great, actionable tips. I mean, it was fantastic. I'm like, taking notes, all these things. Like, I loved your buckets, like generate leads, close deals, deliver results. Like, I thought that was badass. But what's going to happen is we're going to get 30 emails about like, yo, what was the name of those news? I want to get those news. I got to get some of that. Like that's the nootropics are going to take over.
We got to get an affiliate link for that or something. There you go.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you for coming on. We're definitely going to have you on again. We will not put as big of a gap as we did last time, but thank you for kind of sharing the insight. This has really been fun, kind of like giving people like a picture of like what it looks like to work in different things. So I think we're going to have to do more of this with other people because it was really cool. But thank you for sharing your insight. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule because I know, you know, it's hard for you to find that time, but you always make that time for us. And it makes
absolutely.
So thank you very much. Everybody, remember, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, now on Spotify. Check us out on Spotify because that's a big one that a lot of y'all have been asking for. And make sure you check in the show notes. We'll have all the information about where you can follow Chris and get some of his, you know, start learning from all that mush inside his head and learn how to do this. We'll make sure that you can get on his list, see his articles, all of that kind of stuff. So check that out. Give him a follow. Like Bobby said, Just reading his emails, you're going to learn a lot. So make sure you do that. And that's it. We'll see you next time. Take care.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.